certainly thankful for the invite to be with you all. And Brandon called a few months ago and invited us to come and be with you all. We were excited about that, and we've been looking forward to that ever since, and we're glad that the time is finally here. We don't know many of you at all, actually, to be quite honest with you. The only ones that we can say we actually know is Brandon and Casey and their family. And we do appreciate Brandon and Casey and their family, and even their parents. We know Brandon's family for quite a while. We preached for a few years in Belleville, where Brandon's grandmother, Kyla, was a member. So we've got to know them. We had Brandon and Casey and their family a couple years ago at Belleville when we were there. And as you know, Brandon does a great job preaching God's word. And it was a treat to have them with us in a meeting that week. But it's good to be with them again, and it's good to meet you guys. And we're certainly looking forward to get to know you all better this next few days. I appreciate the prayer that Brandon led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Charlie leading us in the hymn, Give Me the Bible. And as you can tell, that's what we're going to take some time to talk about in our Bible study period this morning. We're going to talk about why our plea should always be, Give Me the Bible. And when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Because did you know, more than the Bible is too much, and less than the Bible is not enough? And that's why when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. And I want to take just a few moments this morning to talk about why our plea should always be, give me the Bible. And I want to begin by suggesting to us that our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Maybe I better get a pressure on that. And the first reason is because it is the only book that is inspired by God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We learn about that there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul penned, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And he goes on to tell us there in verse number 17 that it is able to thoroughly complete man for every good work. You see, simply put, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Because it is the all-inspired Word of God. And when you think about that, simply put, it means the Bible is God-breathed. I once heard it said, and I quote, the Bible is God's breath in print, end quote. Think about that. And indeed, the Bible is the all-inspired Word of God. From the mind of God, it's the will of God. It's not derived from man and man's thoughts, but it is from God. And our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Because it is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine. That is, it's profitable for teaching. Simply put, it's of value to us. It is useful and of value. It's profitable for reproof. You know what that means? It means that it has the ability to expose error and convict of sin. It's profitable for correction. Simply put, it's able to set man aright. And it's profitable to instruct in righteousness. That is, it instructs one in regard to that which is right. And you think about all those things in regard for why our plea should always be the Bible. Because it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And you want to know something? This is the only book that is able to thoroughly equip man for every good work. There's no other book that is able to thoroughly equip man for every good work than the all-inspired Word of God. This book that we call the Bible. And because of that, we need to be mindful of the fact that our plea should always be, give me the Bible. You see, When it comes to spiritual matters, I don't want your opinion. I don't want man's thoughts. I just want God's word. Give me the Bible. And did you know this book is of much more value than what we can even begin to imagine? You know, I heard an acronym one time for Bible. Have you ever heard what Bible stands for? Have you ever heard an acronym before? I want to share that with you. Basic instruction before leaving earth. That's pretty good, isn't it? Anyone know? There's a lot of truth in that. This book contains everything that we need to know to be saved and to stay saved. And when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Because it is the only book that is inspired by God. But I also suggest this. When it comes to our another reason for why we should, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. There we go. It's because there is no other book more true than the Bible. Did you know that? Did you know that this book that we call the Bible is not a book of fiction? This is not a fairy tale, but this is a book of truth. And our plea should always be, give me the Bible, because this is not a book of fiction, but it is a book of truth. We learn there in Psalm 119 and verse 160, where the psalmist said, the sum of thy word, or the entirety of your word, is what? Truth. Jesus confirmed the fact that God's word is truth there in John chapter 17, verse number 17. And there in John chapter 17, verse 17, you're very familiar with the context there. You're familiar with Jesus praying to God the Father. And in the context there in John 17, 17, he's praying specifically for his chosen disciples. And you remember what his plea was? He asked God to sanctify them. He says, sanctify them by your word. And what did he say? Your word is what? Truth. Truth. You see, we need to be mindful of the fact that God's word is truth. It is true. And did you know that it's impossible for God to lie? Do you know that? We learn about that in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18. The fact that it is impossible for God to lie. You want to know what that means? That means God says what he means, and he means what he says. And we need to be mindful of that when it comes to spiritual matters. When it comes to the way that we need to live in accordance to God's will, to be pleasing to him, we need to do what he says, knowing that this Bible, God's all-inspired word, is a book of truth. But I also suggest to us another reason for why our plea should always be, give me the Bible. And that is because there is no other book more pure than the Bible. You see, the word pure denotes something that is not mixed. It denotes something that is free from contamination. And God's all-inspired word is pure. You see, God's word is pure in that it is without mixture of falsehood. It is pure in that it is free from folly and uncertainty. And that is why God's word can be trusted. We learn about the fact of God's word being pure there in Psalm 19 and verse number 7. And there in Psalm 19 and verse 7, it's recorded for us. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Again, when we think about God's word being pure, we think about how it is the words of the Lord. And the words of the Lord are pure words, as we learn there in Psalm 12 and verse 6. We go on to see there in Psalm 119, verse 140, where the psalmist, in regard to God's word, says, your word is, now watch it, very pure. Think about that. The psalmist there said, your word is very pure, not just a little pure, but very pure. And we need to be mindful of that. And it's because of that we need to recognize that it needs no change. We're not to add to or take away from God's word because it's pure. We have a warning about that given for us there in Proverbs chapter 30. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there in Proverbs chapter 30. And here in Proverbs chapter 30, notice these words of wisdom with me, beginning here in verse number 5. Here in Proverbs 30, in verse 5, we read, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Now pay attention to verse 6. Do not add to his words. Why? Lest he rebuke you and you be found a lie. Let those inspired words sink in for a moment. Here we not only see the fact that God's word is pure, every word of God is pure, but we also see a warning, don't we, in verse number 6. And what is that warning? Don't add to it. Don't add to his word. And we need to be mindful of the need not to add to or take away from God's word, lest he does what? Rebuke us, and we be found what? A liar. That's serious, isn't it? We need to be mindful of that. And when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, give me the Bible, because there is no other book more pure than the Bible. But another reason for why our plea should always be, give me the Bible, is because not only is the Bible all-inspired word of God, not only is it a book of truth, not only is it pure, but it's also perfect. Again, there is no other book more perfect than the Bible. We again see the fact that the Bible is perfect, that it's complete, that it's without blemish, that it needs no change, there in Psalm 19, verse 7. And again, we learn there that the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. We go on to see that God's word is perfect simply because of the fact that it derives from our perfect God. Did you know that? When you think about God's word being perfect, recognize that it's perfect because it derives from our perfect God. God is perfect. We have a good commentary for us on that there in Psalm 18, verse number 30. And there in Psalm 18 and verse 30, notice these words with me. Here in Psalm 18 and verse 30, it's recorded for us. As for God, his way is what? Perfect. He says, the word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Think about that. And never forget these inspired words of James found recorded there in James chapter 1 and in verse number 25. As good Bible students, you're familiar with the context here in James chapter 1. You're familiar with James talking about the need to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And in reminding us of the need to be both hearers and doers of the word, James reveals there in James chapter 1, verse number 25. But he who looks into, now watch it, the perfect law of liberty. You know what that's talking about? God's word. God's word. And it says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. James says, this one will be what? Blessed in what he does. Think about that. You see, it has been said that this book we call the Bible is a mirror for the soul. It's a mirror for the soul. And James says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is a doer of the word, James says, that one will be blessed. in what he does. You see, Pirate Bleach, you know his name? You mean the Bible. You do, don't you? And we need to be mindful of that. Knowing that the Bible is perfect. And there is no other book more perfect than the Bible. But here's another reason I suggest to us for why our plea should always be, give me the Bible. And that is because there is no other book more powerful than the Bible. Did you know that book that you're holding in your hand right now? You know, it's powerless. Did you know that? This book we call the Bible is powerful. And there is no other book more powerful than the Bible. How do we know that? Well, notice what Paul tells us there in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. What did Paul declare there in Romans chapter 1, verse 16? Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? Well, he goes on to say, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, for the Jew first and also the Greek." I want you to pay attention to one word in that verse. I want you to pay attention to the word power there in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. Because you want to know something interesting about that word power there? That word power there comes from a Greek word called dunamis. And guess what? Our English word dynamite is derived from that Greek word dunamis that is translated power there in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. And we all recognize how powerful dynamite is, don't we? I bet you can say there's not a one of us in this room here this morning who doesn't realize the power that dynamite has. Powerful, isn't it? And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here in regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is contained in this book we call the Bible. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And you want to know something? Its penetrating power is depicted as being sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice this with me. There in Hebrews chapter 4. And here in Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse number 12, notice what the Hebrew writer says here about the living, powerful Word of God and its penetrating power. Here in Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse number 12, the Hebrews writer said, "For the Word of God is what? Living and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Did you catch that? The Word of God that we're holding in our hand right now. Not only does the Hebrew writer inform us of the fact that it is living, and that it is powerful, but he knows his penetrating power. And that he tells us that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think about that. Here we learn that God's Word, it probes the thoughts and intents of the heart. And by the way, when you talk about the Bible heart, we're not talking about the physical blood pump. Don't think about that. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about the Bible heart. We're talking about the mind, the inner part of man. And God's Word, it's able to penetrate the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's powerful. And you want to know something? God's Word is still living and as powerful this very day as it was when the Hebrew writer penned those inspired words. Think about that. God's Word, still this very day, is living and powerful. Still this very day, God's Word has the ability to prick the hearts of men and women. And you want to know something? There is no greater joy than to see the power of God's word in action. There's no greater joy than that. There's no greater joy than to see someone hear the word of God, believe it, and obey it. And we need to be mindful of the fact that God's word is powerful. And when it comes to why our plea should always be, give me the Bible, it should be simply because there is no other book on earth more powerful than the book we call the Bible. But I also suggest to us another reason for why our plea should always be, give me the Bible. And that is because it was written for our learning, and it gives us hope. Did you know that? Notice that with me there in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. And here in Romans chapter 15, and in verse number 4, the inspired Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, wrote, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." You know, when Paul is talking about the things that were written before, you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament. And did you know those things that were written aforetime, those things that were written before, the things that were written in our Old Testament? Did you know that those things were written not only for the profit of those at that time, but it's also for our profit even today? We can benefit from the things that were written before, just as those who lived it. And we can benefit from that simply because of the fact that the Old Testament Scriptures, guess what? They provide many examples, example after example after example, of God's faithfulness. Think about that. Think about, just stop for a moment and reflect upon the examples of God's faithfulness that we can think of off the top of our mind in the Old Testament Scripture. I'm interested to say you can come up with quite a few just like that, can't you? And it's because of that that we can learn from those Old Testament examples. We can benefit from that. And Paul is reminding us as Christians about that very thing here in Romans 15, verse 4. When he says that the things that were written before were written for our learning. And he goes on to say that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Again, the Scriptures provide examples of God's faithfulness, providing encouragement to help strengthen us and to help us endure. And by the way, it ultimately gives us hope. Anyone know something? When we talk about hope that we have as God's people, we're not talking about wishful thinking. You see, the world views hope as being something that is wishful. But our hope as Christians, it's not wishful thinking. But rather, you know what our hope is. It is a desire coupled with a confident expectation. As Christians, not only do we have the desire of an eternal home in heaven someday, but we can confidently have that expectation of a home in heaven someday if we simply obey God's word. We do what he says. We can be like the Apostle Paul, who declared here in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal salvation, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We can say that, can't we? See, Paul, he had a confident expectation of eternal life, didn't he? And we can too, when we obey God's word. But One more reason to share with you this morning in regard to why our plea should always be, give me the Bible. And that is because the Bible is the only book that endures forever. You see, there is no other book on earth that endures forever or will endure forever than God's all inspired word, the Bible. And we learn about this there in Psalm 119, verse 89. As good Bible students, you're probably familiar with those words of the psalmist recorded there in Psalm 119, verse 89. And there the psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, your word is what? Settled in heaven." Think about that. You see, the word of God, it's indestructible. And the word of God, it is everlasting, and it will endure forever. Isaiah reminds us of this there in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8. And there in Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the prophet of old informs us of the fact that that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. And did you know, Peter, he echoed those words of Isaiah, as we find there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's just pick up there in verse number 24. But there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, Peter says, "All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass." He says, "The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord does what? Endures forever." Think of that. And be mindful of the fact that our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Knowing that the word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. Knowing that God's word is everlasting. And that it will endure forever. I thought it would be only appropriate to begin our series of lessons by reminding us of the need for our plea to always be, give me the Bible. Because as the next few days go on, we're going to talk about some difficult things. Specifically on Monday night. Monday night, we're going to talk about some very difficult things. We're going to talk about many things that are plaguing the society that we live in today. And we're going to see many things that is plaguing our society today. And people have a lot of questions about that. Well, what's right? What's wrong? Well, how do we find out the answer to that question? Right here. We go to what the scriptures say, don't we? And that's what we're going to talk about, Lord willing, on Monday night. We're going to examine some difficult things, some difficult topics that we're dealing with in the society that we live in today. I'll just give you a quick preview of that. We're going to talk about some things in regard to homosexuality, in regard to abortion, in regard to divorce, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We're going to talk about some difficult things. And we're going to take a look at what saith the Scripture. Because it doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter what I think about it. But all that matters is what God says about those things. And that's important, isn't it? And that's why our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Because ultimately, what you say, what you think, what I say, what I think, it doesn't matter. As the old saying goes, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, does it? But what matters is what God's word says. And that's why our plea should always be, give me the Bible. And when we think about that, I want us to be reminded of what we learned there in Psalm 118, verse number 8. And there in Psalm 118, verse 8, the psalmist said, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to do what? Put confidence in man." Remember that. Never put confidence in man and what man says, but always put your trust and confidence in the Lord and what he says. And they are a plea to always be. Give me the Bible. And here's one more reason why our plea should always be to give me the Bible. Because did you know that God's word has revealed what man must do to be saved? This is the only book that contains everything man needs to know to be saved and to stay saved. And we learned there in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. We learned there in John chapter 8, verse 24, where Jesus, speaking to Jews in the first century who did not believe that he was the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus made it very clear to them, for if you do not believe that I am he, Jesus says you will die in your sins. We learned there in Acts 17, 30, the need for all men everywhere to repent. And we go on to see the need to confess Jesus Christ. There in Romans 10, 9 and 10. And what does Paul tell us there? Confession with the mouth is what? Lead us to what? Salvation. And we recognize and we see the need to be baptized for the remission of sins. We learn about that there in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. And then we see the promise of Jesus there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2, and verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Everything man needs to know to be saved and to stay saved is contained right here in this book we call the Bible. That's all I got for you this morning. I know we got about 5 minutes until Brandon said that class is over, so I'm going to open it up for the last 5 minutes for any questions or comments if you have. Anybody? Yes, we get it early.